Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. Are you doing too much? The practice. Drop the load. Why? You may have seen the old Mickey Mouse movie in which he's working on a conveyor belt in a factory. More and more widgets come at him that he must handle, and he gets increasingly frazzled as he struggles to keep up. Do you ever feel the same way? Think about all the dishes, emails, meetings, reports, drives, calls returned, laundry folded, children tucked into bed, friends comforted, errands run, etc., etc. Most of a person's tasks, even all of them, could be individually rewarding and done for a good purpose. But, taken as a whole, they're often too much. It's certainly gotten this way for me. Doing crowds out being. The urgent crowds out the important. And when you go to bed after working hard all day, feeling frustrated and maybe self-critical that you didn't get more done, meanwhile, the stress chemistry of your body has gotten jacked up since hurrying, multitasking, and feeling pressured trigger essentially the same hormonal and neural mechanisms that helped our ancestors run away from charging lions. At the heart of it all, there's an unfreedom. You can feel chained to obligatory tasks. What to do? How? Take on fewer tasks. Of course, it's good to make an effort to hold up your end of the log. You honor your previous commitments. And sometimes new things come your way, some wonderful, some not, that do require a lot of work, like having children, finishing college, starting a business, or getting through an unexpected and serious illness. But when you can, and this has become very important for me lately, be careful about adding new discretionary items into the commitments hopper. Give yourself time to think. Be really, really clear about all the little things that will come with this additional obligation, including new things you'll have to think about or take time doing. Are the rewards of the new commitment really worth these costs? Don't be hypnotized by the rewards of the new thing. Wisdom is choosing greater happiness over a lesser one. Sometimes you have to give up the lesser rewards of the new thing for the greater rewards of allowing some new space to clear in your life. Put a fence around doing. As a young man, I worked briefly in a factory loading cases of soft drinks onto pallets for trucks. It was hard physical labor, but at the end of the shift, When we checked out, it was definitively over. What a relief. Similarly, set a time each day when you are truly done. No more emails, no more housework, no more projects. You made an effort today. You did what you could, and now you're clocked out. A related way to approach this is in terms of saying, first, put the big rocks in your bucket. In other words, make time commitments to what you value more that will push what you value less to the margins. If you value exercise, commit to that class at the gym or reschedule dinner to give you time for a run when you get home from work. If you value meditation or prayer in the morning, get to bed half an hour sooner so you could get up a half an hour earlier to do your practice. Imagine looking back on your life. Will you care that you got all of those to-dos done, or care that you did the things that mattered the most to you? Shift your relationship to tasks. Getting stuff done sometimes seems like the secular religion of the developed world, especially America, where we routinely make sacrifices at the altar of doingness. I'm this way myself. My main compulsion or addiction is crossing off items on my to-do list. Instead, try to see task doing in a freer and more disenchanted way. Watch your mind and its sense of must when it comes to tasks. Keep returning to the feeling that you're choosing to do the task, not driven to it. Remind yourself when it's true that you actually don't have to do a particular task. Try to calm down any sense of drivenness or urgency. Slow down a little. Try to do the tasks from the green zone, in which you experience that your fundamental needs for safety, satisfaction, and connection are already basically being met. See the ways that your attention narrows down on the next thing to do and the one after that. Try to stay aware of the big picture, that things as a whole are fine, that this particular task in front of you is just a little tiny tile in a huge mosaic. It's not worth getting tense or intense about. When you do finish a task, take a moment to register it. Let an appropriate sense of completion and satisfaction land before rushing on to the next thing. Keep in mind the ways that a mundane task is linked to larger things. Changing a diaper is linked to loving a child and protecting her. Driving to work is linked to providing for oneself and others. Recognize that tasks are empty. And if it's meaningful to you, you can try something I've been exploring lately. Be aware of the experience of doing a task, the sights and sounds and emotions while washing dishes, say. And then notice how the experience is made up of many parts that constantly change and blend together. While the plate in your hand is substantial, you can hold on to it. Your experience of the plate is not. The sensations and images of the plate are insubstantial, so you can't hold on to them. Your experience of the plate and everything else too is empty of independent sustainability. When you look at task doing this way, not so much as things happening out there, but as experiences happening in here, you can see the multi-part, fleeting, insubstantial, and empty nature of these experiences. Something shifts. You feel freer inside, less bound to tasks, and more relaxed and open. When seen as empty, not meaningless and not non-existent, but insubstantial and ephemeral, the anticipated pleasures of getting stuff done aren't as compelling, and the anticipated pains of not doing aren't as worrisome. You still get a lot done, but in a more peaceful way. You are listening to Greater Good Magazine. I'm sorry. You are listening to Just One Thing by Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another. Where are you headed? The practice? Find your North Star. Why? One evening at a meditation retreat at Spirit Rock, a wonderful place, as we walked out of the hall after the last sit, I was feeling rattled and discombobulated. One of the benefits of a retreat, though it can be uncomfortable, is that it stirs up sediments of your psyche, which can muddy your mental waters for a while. I looked up at the stars shining brightly in the cold, clear night and soon noticed the Big Dipper. My eyes followed its pointing to Polaris, the North Star, and a wave of easing came over me. The star felt steady and reassuring, something you could count on. It connected, I think, with a young part of me who loved the outdoors and learned to believe that as long as he could locate the North Star, he could find his way out of the tangled woods and back to safety. Gazing at Polaris, I asked myself, what's my North Star? One answer came to me immediately, and another just seconds later. Immediately, I felt better, calmer, and more resolved. I'll tell you what came to me in the how section below. Right here, I want to make the point that it's the question that matters most, and that the answer or answers will be different for different people. When you find your North Star, you know where you're headed. That alone feels good. Plus, your North Star is presumably wholesome and vital, so aiming toward it will bring more and more happiness and benefit to yourself and others. And you can dream bigger dreams and take more chances in life, since if you lose your way, you've got a beacon to home in on. Everyday life is untangling. It's so easy to get caught up in routines and obligations that gradually take over to set the course of your life. It may look goal-directed, maybe breakfast, getting the kids to school, going to work, returning home, making dinner, going to bed, repeat the next day. But we know inside that there is no deep purpose to it, no fundamental aim that gives clarity, meaning, or richness. Then life starts to feel hollow, more about getting through than getting to. What's the light that will guide you out of your own tangled woods, both the woods out there and the world and the ones in here, inside your own mind? How? Find a time and a place that's meaningful to you, perhaps sitting quietly at home with a cup of tea, or in a house of prayer, or like me, under the night sky. Help your mind settle and grow quieter. Then, simply ask, wordlessly or out loud, "What's my North Star?" Perhaps try other ways of asking this question, such as, "What's the most important thing? By what should I set my life's course?" You could also just hold the question in the back of your mind over the course of a day and see what comes to you. Or, while doing a pleasant task with your hands, like gardening, knitting, or stroking a cat, ask the question and see what arises. The answer may be soft. You may have to listen closely to hear it. It may come with the voice of an inner child or a teacher, or with a simple, viscerally persuasive clarity. The answer that came to me was the single word, truth, followed by love. But your own answer or answers may come in the form of a wordless knowing, an image, a body sensation, or a memory. Some people, including me, have several North Stars, though usually they're lined up in the same direction, so there is no conflict among them. And sometimes a person has a single North Star, one aim, one principle that draws together all the threads of his or her life. It's okay for your North Star or stars to change over time, but at whatever is right now, let that guide you. This means keeping in mind, perhaps with a yellow sticky on the refrigerator or by jotting it down, maybe in a coded way for your privacy, at the top of your to-do list for the day. Or you could, as I do, often recommit to your guiding light when you first wake up. Notice or imagine the rewards that do or will come to you and others from following your North Star. What trouble will it keep you out of? What joys and gains will it bring to you and others? Letting these good feelings and knowings sink into you, linked in your mind to your star. When troubled or tangled, ask yourself, "How could my North Star guide me with this? In its light, what's the priority here and now?" Try to accept this guidance. Give yourself over to it. Moment after moment, we are always headed in one direction or another. As these add up, they may become the course, for better or worse, of a person's life. May the course of your life be aimed at your own North Star. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another. Are you breathing? The practice, one breath at a time. Why? If for you the breath is associated with trauma and discomfort, you probably shouldn't try this practice in its form below, but you might adapt it to something that is more nurturing for you, such as a saying, or an image. Breathing brings you home. Body and mind twine together in the breath. As soon as you become aware of breathing, you're in your body. Speed up the breath and there's new energy. Slow it down and you calm down. Inhale and oxygen surges into your brain while arousing sympathetic nervous system activates and accelerates the heartbeat. Exhale and activate the soothing, peaceful, parasympathetic nervous system so the heart beats more slowly. In the breath, you are home in this moment. This is now. The breath feels like life inside. No wonder it's been traditionally linked to spiritual matters. To inspire is to inhale. To inspirit, to uplift. The breath is always available as an object of attention, whether formally in meditation or informally as a way to recenter yourself. Track the breath in yourself and know yourself more deeply. Track the breath in others and know them more deeply. If all else fails and your mind is screaming in pain or blown open in chaos, there is still the breath. Sometimes all you can do is breathe and know that you are still breathing. One breath at a time, just getting through this breath, and then the next one, and the next one. Plus, in the knowledge of breathing, there is awareness of awareness, not metaphysically or cosmically, but as a refuge, if need be, of last resort. Try it. Breathing here and now, recognize that awareness is a field or space in which contents come and go, such as the sensations of breathing. You can see directly that no matter what arises and passes away, awareness remains undamaged and unstained, like the sky that is never harmed by the storm clouds passing through it. When times are terrible, try to be the observing, the awareness, to get some space from the pain and sustain a sense of being intact in your core. You can do this as well when times are good, which will help you both to stay in the sweet spot of enjoying without tipping into suffering of wanting, and to strengthen your grounding in awareness for when things fall apart. How? So far, I've always described these just one thing practices with an active verb such as take in the good, give thanks, or find strength. I could have done the same here with take one breath at a time. But this one felt different. It's not just that we take a breath. Sometimes the breath takes itself. Sometimes it takes us. When the mind and the body are really quiet, there's hardly any talking at all. Whenever you like, find the breath and stay with it through one inhalation and exhalation. Or you could notice its sensations in your stomach, chest, or around the upper lip. Or the internal sensations inside the throat or in the diaphragm. Or sense the breath in the chest altogether. Next, see if you can rest your attention in the breath for three full cycles of inhaling and exhaling. Then how about 10 full cycles from beginning to end? Distracting thoughts may nibble at your attention, but disengage from these while sinking more and more deeply into the breath. And if you like, let go of counting and simply give over to the breath, breath after breath. Somewhere in here, as you become more present in the breath, more absorbed in it, you could experience breathing as the whole body breathing. Try this at night as you're falling asleep, resting as a body breathing. Or if you wake and can't easily return to sleep, Soften the edges of your mind out into only breathing. Breathing blurs out into the quiet of the night. Be breathing as you do things or have them. One breath at a time while dressing, eating, driving, talking, washing, cuddling, writing. Or simply be breathing. Nothing else to do, no one to be. The simplest job in the world. One breath at a time. What a relief. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.